Lashana Tova Tikka Tevub, which means may you be inscribed in the Book of Life, and that's a famous Jewish saying during this season and the topic of today's program. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on Christian Radio, locally on 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web, WHKWradio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. So, if you're not driving, get your Bible, pen, and paper, and get ready to take some notes and enjoy the next hour of learning God's Word, especially on the study of the end of days. And if you are driving, you might like to go to Shofar's website, shofarministries.net, later to re-listen and take some notes, because today's program has many insights you will want to remember, important to the end time scenario. But let's first go in prayer to our Abba Father in heaven. Abba Father, our King, remember us this season. Forgive us this season. Help us to forgive others so you can forgive us. May your bride be found beautiful when you arrive. Father, we hold up those to you like the Levitical priests held up the sacrifices and the bread. And we hold up those that have sent in prayer requests by mail and email, and that you remember those and give them their heart's desire, whether it be healing or patching up relationships. Lord, you hear the prayers of your people, and you want to bless us, and you love us, and we thank you for that in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, our Messiah. Amen.
Amen, and thank you, John, or should I say Yochanan, which is your Hebrew name. Shabbat Shalom to you.
Shabbat Shalom.
I just thought it might be fun, and we've never done this before, but I thought it might be fun just to have a little funny in the beginning.
Okay.
but have you heard the one about the wife and the husband kind of arguing with each other? And every day that one would say, no, you make coffee tonight, and she'd say, no, you make it, and they'd argue back and forth about it. And finally she says, you know, you need to make the coffee. It's in the Bible that the man is supposed to make the coffee. And he goes, oh, yeah, right. Well, show that to me. So she immediately goes over to the New Testament, and she shows him many pages where it says right there, he brews.
Wow.
Okay, if you heard that before, I'm sorry, but I thought it was kind of cute and a way to get some joy.
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah.
Yes, as we're fighting to keep our joy these days, right? Well, a couple of announcements. This Wednesday, September 3rd, Triple C topic. You want to help me on that?
Chester Christian Center.
Chester Christian Center topic will be Rosh Hashanah
and the rapture.
Yeah,
I will be there. It's in Chesterland on Chillicothe or about 306. Just check out the phone book or whatever and come and see me. I'd love to meet you.
Yes.
Especially if you listen to the radio, I want to know who's listening. I would love to know who's listening. Is anybody listening?
Good topic. Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, we will be... Oh, okay, that's
Sorry,
you.
Sorry, that's me. Oh, boy, it's going to be a fun day.
Yes.
I do want to just mention that for the next 2 weeks, we will be preempted. Station had a prior commitment to actually when we started, and it's for the Case Western Reserve College football games. Okay. But then we'll be back again live on the actual date of Rosh Hashanah, September 19th, and that'll be an exciting day, which Rosh Hashanah continues on until Sunday at sundown, but that's the real New Year's. Do you think we should bring some noisemakers down?
Well, we could bring noisemakers, sure. Why not?
Well, anyway, we will be opening the lines later in this hour for your end time questions.
And also remember, we get a special blessing and a special crown for studying this topic. If you don't believe me, just check out 2 Timothy chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 1 and chapter 22.
That's right. It's in there.
It's in there. Okay. Well, Sheila, what do we have for the news today? There's certainly been a lot going on.
There's always a lot going on. But I think what's most important for us in Israel, which is what I like to hone in on, is Barack Obama. He's close to brokering in an Israeli-Palestinian deal that will allow him to announce the resumption of the long-stalled Middle East peace talks before the end of next month, he says.
Hmm.
And, of course, it's a key to bringing on board, to bringing Israel on board. It's a promise by the United States to adopt a much tougher line with Iran over its alleged nuclear weapons program. So, in other words, if Israel does what we want, they're going to adopt a much tougher line with Israel, and I guess it's going to be by expanding the sanctions to include Iran's oil and gas industry, one that we really haven't sanctioned. And, of course, that move could cripple its economy, so it'll be very interesting to see.
Well, what does Israel have to do?
Well, in return, Israel has to agree to a partial freeze on the construction of any new settlements. Now, I don't know if you remember out there in Radio Land that a couple of weeks ago we mentioned about how Obama says, I want an immediate, total freeze on all the construction of any new settlements in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's just a partial freeze. So the United States has compromised a little bit. So Israel actually says that, well, we'll do a partial freeze on any new construction, like 9 to 12 months, but that would not include the 2,400 homes that Israel says work has already begun on, where Obama wanted that to stop also.
Mm-hmm.
And they, well, for one thing, if Israel did that, there would be an uprising. It would not be pretty. But Obama, through his spokesman, Mr. Mitchell, has compromised from those prior statements. And I guess that's a good thing. But
I think it's so funny, Sheila, that when they're building homes, we call that new construction here, but it's settlements over there. And of course, the Palestinians resent that. But aren't they allowed? Now, you've been there. Aren't the Palestinians, if they want to buy one of these homes,
oh,
they
yeah.
can too?
And they have.
And they
yeah.
have. Okay. That's
yeah.
just, but just want to make
Jewish,
sure.
But if you're Jewish, you're not allowed to now.
You know.
But it's interesting, too, that all these negotiations that are going on are being held in strict privacy. So we're really not able to get a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
But according to France and Russia, it has reached such an advanced stage that they want to have a peace conference in their country.
Oh, okay.
So they're both hoping to get that. And Obama himself has, I understand, penciled in the announcement of this breakthrough from these meetings at the World Leaders Conference of the UN or the G20 summit in Pittsburgh. And it's both of them, all both of these meetings are going to be held between September 23rd and September 25th, which if anybody out there knows Hebraic roots, which is why it's important to know a little bit of information.
Yeah, if not just the calendar.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
These dates are right in the middle of
Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur,
yeah,
or the High Holy
the
Days.
The High Holy Days,
yes. Mm-hmm.
You betcha, which begins on Monday,
mm-hmm.
The day after Rosh Hashanah. Actually, Rosh Hashanah begins on Friday evening at sundown, mm-hmm. and it goes to Sunday evening at sundown. Then the High Holy Days kicks in,
mm-hmm.
basically. I mean, they say it's the whole 10 days, but it's really not. It begins on the third day
mm-hmm.
and continues on through the 10th, which is Yom Kippur. And we're going to talk about that today.
Yes.
Would you like to talk about
it's
that?
It's a critical today? Time. it's a critical holiday, and this is a critical time. And, yeah, let's talk about this because this is interesting.
Okay. Rosh Hashanah. First of all, Rosh means head or chief,
mm-hmm.
and Shana means year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the chief of the year, the head of the year. And there's a huge belief in, especially in the Old Testament days, and still today with the Orthodox, it's that the resurrection of the righteous will occur on the chief of the year, which is the anniversary date of the creation, not only of just the world, but of man or Adam.
Mm-hmm.
We also call it the Feast of Trumpets.
Now, why do we call it the Feast of Trumpets?
Well, because in Leviticus 23, verse 23, says it's a memorial, okay, and to blow the trumpets.
Mm-hmm.
And the resurrection will happen some year. And I think at another program, I'll even explain why they also believed it would be at the end of 6,000 years from the creation of Adam, which, by the way, we don't know when that really is because calendars have not been correct.
Are we close? To that?
Yes.
To that time?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But that's for another show because this hour I found out goes very fast. And most of the things that we have to say, we never get to. So, but a little recap of last week's program. Remember this, that each year, 30 days before this event, because let's face it, If you knew, John, that the resurrection was going to happen next month, and you didn't have Jesus that took our sins to the cross,
mm-hmm.
what do you think you'd be doing before a possible resurrection?
Well, either panicking or talking to everybody I know that I perceive as a Christian or a godly person.
Well, without a Christian,
yeah.
because it's before that.
Okay.
Just a righteous person.
I would be trying to repent.
You betcha.
In any way I could, any way I knew how, yes.
Well, that's exactly what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Jewish unbelievers who have not accepted the Messiah take this time still today, if you're at least Orthodox, and I know there's some secular Jews that probably don't, but as a whole, this is a time where they repent
mm-hmm.
and really examine themselves thoroughly for any unforgiveness or anything that might keep them from being part of this most exciting and most talked about anticipated event. I mean, let's face it, that's what it's all about, isn't it, John? We are put on this earth to decide where we want to spend eternity.
I know.
It's a small vapor.
It
We're
sounds
here and,
to, yeah.
gone quickly.
It sounds very simplistic, but when you boil it down, that's what you get. That's what we're here for.
That's why we're here. And they call the season Teshuvah, as we said last week, which means to repent or return to a closer walk with God. And even Christians need to get a closer walk with their Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are in that season right today. And a warning shofar is blown daily to remind them.
Well, you heard the one for today.
I know.
We're at the beginning of the program.
And as a Christian, we blow that shofar every day because every day
mm-hmm.
I know that when I pray, I ask for forgiveness. I do. There's always something that I need to be forgiven for. I don't want to admit that, maybe. But it's the truth. I mean, and it's not just for bad sins. It's actually for sins of omission, things that I should have done and didn't do,
mm-hmm.
you know, those kind of things. And we need to do that. We need to get a closer walk with God. And as Christians, every single day is a season of Teshuvah. But in particular, for the Jewish people, that's this time just before Rosh Hashanah. So for the last 2 weeks, we covered the season, and we also gave examples of God in His Word actually rebuked His people during this particular season.
That's
we talked about that, and we gave it.
That's right. And if you missed that program or any of the programs, you can always go to the website shofarministries.net and listen to any of the prior radio teachings.
You know, I hope people are taking advantage of that because there is a lot of gold nuggets. Even we've only been on since March, and already there's quite a few good Bible study teachings on there where you can sit down with your Bible and really take it apart. I also want to mention that during Teshuvah, many catastrophes and disasters have taken place during the season, like 9/11, Katrina, most hurricanes, and many so-called even peace agreements with Israel seem to always take place during Teshuvah, like Oslo. Proved to be a failure in the long run, and but now we're getting ready to do it again, and I believe that the Antichrist will sign an agreement with Israel during Teshuvah, or at that final day of Teshuvah, probably Yom Kippur, and that's again for more future shows. But the fall season is an imperative time of the year. The Bible talks about it often as being the end of the harvest, and we can give some examples of that too. But let's as Christians, of course, let's ask ourselves every day, have we neglected God's word? Have we spent more time in His presence than in pursuing personal pleasure? Has your love for Him been passionate? Boy, that's an important word, that passion.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I think we should all pray as King David prayed. Do you remember that scripture, John, that David prayed?
I think David prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." And that's from the Psalms, 139, verses 23 and 24.
You know what
David
says in here? To try me. But yet when we get tried, we get a little mad about that.
Yes, we do. I know that.
But he says, try me so I can see. Will I serve you no matter what the situation? Or will I continue to praise you and know and trust you that you will see me through it?
Definitely.
That's a good...
When you go through the trials, that's when you find out what's in your heart.
Oh,
and
yes.
some of the stuff that's in some of my trials that's come out of my heart, I was very surprised.
Well, and I've been through trials also.
To say the least.
I think most people have.
Yeah.
And if you're going through something right now, let me just tell you from the bottom of my heart, you've got to trust the Lord.
Yeah.
Because He is trying you, and He's allowing these things to happen for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
He always does, because He could stop them.
That is true, and I believe Peter says that, or James, well, here we go, you're going to know my Bible ignorance. It says that if the trials of your faith, that works patience.
Amen.
And so it's for your good. It's just that it's surprising sometimes when you hit the wall and you say, well, I haven't said that word in a long time. And you know, that's what it's all about. And also, we should be forgiving each other, too.
Absolutely. And
try to make peace with our enemies as best as we can.
Right. And never get offended, because we should never, there's no reason to be offended.
Hmm.
But actually, we are in a famine today. You know, the Christian famine. I think we're suffering from malnourishment. We are living in famine conditions. But the famine has nothing to do with food.
Mm-hmm.
Our famine is like the one that Amos spoke of. He said in Amos 8:11, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine through the land. Not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
I know it's going to get worse, but I see that happening already.
I've heard that actually said by missionaries who return from the field to our country, and when they step off the plane, they say you can feel it. You can feel there's an emptiness, and that emptiness is the lack or the famine of the Word of God.
And because of that lack of the Word of God, that light is diminishing and darkness is getting bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now listen, Sheila, I know this is also, we're in the festival, the Islamic festival of Ramadan. Did I pronounce that right? And what does that mean?
Well, actually, this is the time, and it's very seldom does it begin at the same date the Teshuvah does. But again, we've got the enemy working to pervert what, you know, God's people wanted to make good. But this Ramadan, although it's supposed to be a time of peace and giving, and they do totally fast, that means food and water, from dusk until dawn until dusk.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, its observance is one of the five pillars of Islam. However, after they're done fasting, they do begin to feast. Okay, they eat a lot and drink a lot. And unfortunately, the violence picks up during the time of Ramadan, because they believe that during the time of Ramadan that they gain more credibility with Allah if they carry out more violence or do a jihad,
mm-hmm.
or suicide bombing.
But we're talking about extremist fundamentalists,
extremist,
Muslims.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, and thank you for clarifying that.
Okay.
You know, and I'm glad that they are a smaller number, and I'm glad we don't have a, you know.
They're a small number that gets a lot of media attention, that's for sure.
Yeah, but especially in Iraq or Israel, every year they really do brace for an upsurge in violence,
mm-hmm.
and it proves every year to be true. In fact, even last week, which was the beginning, more than 100 people were killed and more than 500 were wounded in a series of truck bombings in Baghdad.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the deadliest day since the United States pulled its combat troops out of the Iraqi cities and towns 2 months ago. But at least 4 people were killed and 76 were also wounded the next day in a string of bombings in Babil province. And it's not just Iraq where extremists see Ramadan as a time of opportunity. Even in Afghanistan last week, they saw a rise in insurgencies. And even in Saudi Arabia last week, there was a suicide bomber who tried to kill one of the princes, who has been trying to actually rehabilitate these jihadists.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to kill him. Now, they weren't successful, but he blew himself up. Also in Kuwait, it's reported that security forces has arrested 6 Kuwaitis linked to Al-Qaeda, who had actually planned to attack and bomb a U.S. military installation during Ramadan, but they were caught ahead of time.
Hmm.
And one last thing. On the evening of the 27th day of Ramadan, which happens to be September 16th, Muslims, the extremists especially, celebrate the night of power. And it is believed that on this night, Muhammad first received the revelation of the Quran. And according to the Quran, this is when Allah determines the course of the world for the following year.
Hmm.
Now, again,
does that sound like a counterfeit?
It does. It's a perversion of what the people of God have tried to do during the same season. But the fifth surah in the Quran says that Islam was taught all along since the beginning of time, and that the Jews and Christians came along and have corrupted it, that we wrote history.
Oh, it was us.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But again, it's perversion.
It's orchestrated
by Satan, and he perverts everything that is true.
Well, he counterfeits because it's his version of of the truth.
It is.
We go with God's version of the Bible.
Well, we use the Bible,
yes,
as the holy,
yes,
the holy book of and words of the Lord. But it's interesting too. We see how God actually has organized detailed Jewish requirements with definite customs using particular idioms and phrases, so that Jesus, even when he came, would use this and do these customs and use these phrases to give us huge clues, so to learn how it will be with us in today.
Mm-hmm.
Even Paul told us in the New Testament, Romans 15, that the things written before is for our learning today.
Yes, it is.
We learn from
yes,
that.
It is.
And yet so many people say, oh, I don't read the Old Testament. It's, what you know, outdated and all
mm-hmm.
that stuff. But it really, really isn't. Because when you learn the phrases, the idioms, and the customs, then you understand your New Testament better. So Rosh Hashanah, the creation of the world, and also the birthday of man. Tishri 1 was when Adam was created. Leviticus 23 says it's a Sabbath rest. It's a memorial of blowing the trumpets. So that's why we also call it the Feast of Trumpets, which, by the way, there's 100 blasts of the shofar blown on Rosh Hashanah. And at the last trumpet sound, the festival would begin. So Rosh Hashanah is also called the last trumpet. Isn't that amazing?
Well, that sounds familiar. Where have we heard that phrase, the last trumpet, before?
Well, you know what? When we come back from our break, we are going to go right into that. And I think the people will be very interested to see that last trumpet and what it really means.
Well, okay. Well, I'll tell you what, the lines will be soon open. And if you have a question, particularly on end times eschatology, the numbers are 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. And I would also like to add that Shofar Ministries is a non-denominational 501c3. All your gifts are tax deductible, and donations are really needed to stay on the air.
Yes, they are.
And as our gift to you, a handmade cross for your wall or yard will be sent to you, and they're really pretty. And we have a fellow that makes them just to give away. And just send your check to P.O. Box 513 in Burton, Ohio, 44021, or you may donate through shofarministries.net using the PayPal feature, and perhaps you'd like to sponsor the show by advertising your company on Christian radio. You can reach Sheila for details by calling 440-834-9006. And now I would like to remind you about one of our faithful sponsors, Mullet Masonry. Working with brick, block, or stone, their work is impeccable. It's earned them a great reputation. They service residential, like chimneys and restorations, as well as the bigger commercial-type jobs. And they're located in Geauga County, but they'll service any of the surrounding areas. They're experienced. They do great work. They're affordable. They're nice people to boot. So if you need a free estimate, you looked up at your chimney lately, did you see anything wrong with it? Well, don't panic. Just call Chad Mullet at 216-570-0177. That's 570-0177. Give them a try the next time you need any facet of masonry work. After all, Mullet Masonry helps to keep this show on the air, so be sure to tell Chad that you heard about him right here on WHKW Radio. By the way, the lines are now open for your end time questions. Again, the numbers 216-901-0973. 888-777-3733 or 888-677-WORD. Now, don't go too far. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back after a short break and a traditional song about creation. Avinu Malkeinu by the Liberating Wailing Wall. So stay with us now.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Men, did you know your prostate can affect your quality of life? It can affect your urine flow and stream. And let's be honest, it might even affect intimacy. Don't ignore the importance of your prostate. See your doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that works with your body to support prostate health and normal urine flow. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 Saw Palmetto capsules in order to get the same natural plant sterols as one Beta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate targeted nutrition. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-460-1033. That's 1-800-460-1033. Don't put off this important phone call. With Beta Prostate, your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. Call 1-800-460-1033. That's 1-800-460-1033. 1-800-460-1033.
Hi, my name is Mike in Huntington Beach, California. I like the 3-step plan. I am able to work at home without compromising any of my time with family. I see that my future for being able to retire, being able to pay off some bills, make a big difference for me to be able to give to charities that I want to give, be able to help my grandkids and whatnot in the future as well. I would recommend Andy Willoughby's 3-step plan to anyone who is interested looking to change their economic future, just make a better life for themselves and for others. Andy Willoughby's 3-step plan is definitely a way for someone to make a difference for their own future and for future of other people that get involved.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. Go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-895-6545. 800-895-6545. 800-895-6545.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. And that song, sung by the Liberated Wailing Wall Messianic Group, Avinu Melkeinu, and that means Our Father, Our King, and that's so appropriate for the time of Rosh Hashanah, because one of the titles for Rosh Hashanah is the coronation, and we recognize that God is our King. But before that, I'd like to thank another sponsor to the show, and that's Nicole Marus, who is a local representative of the all-natural Arbonne Health and Beauty Products, who will give you a free consultation on proper maintenance of your particular skin type, because we don't all have the same type of skin. Nicole realizes also that if you have never tried Arbonne, you might not realize how great it is. So for a limited time, when you call her, she will send you a complimentary sample pack of Arbonne skincare products because, again, this is not just face makeup. It's about having healthy, glowing skin. So be sure to give Nicole a call at 440-840-2176. And remember, Arbonne is non-toxic, very important in these infectious days. So call 440-840-2176 and tell Nicole you heard about her on WHK Radio. All right, getting back to the subject, we left off with another term that Rosh Hashanah is called, and that is the last trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to make sure that I reminded people that we actually did cover the subject of what the last trumpet really meant on one of our previous shows. And I think it was even June 27th, if I'm not mistaken. But it actually, if you go to my webpage and click on Radio Podcasts, you can go to either any show that you want. And I have outlined each show, and one of them says Last Trumpet. And I think it might be June 27th. But click on there and listen to that. It's got a lot of good information on what the Last Trumpet really is. And it's not the seventh trumpet of Revelation. Okay? It actually is a phrase describing the last trumpet that sounded on Rosh Hashanah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's called the last trumpet.
And that's all explained on that.
Yes,
I remember that show.
Explained.
That was a good show.
And it's interesting because he talks about in Corinthians that he's going to tell them a mystery, and that's when he tells them it is actually the last trumpet. And if you know your Hebraic roots, which is why I constantly tell people, please, just know a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It will open up your New Testament in ways that you've never imagined before.
Right.
And especially understanding the end time scenario, which, by the way, we are not in unity on. And in Corinthians, and I will, maybe next time we get together, I will give that scripture, but in Corinthians, it talks about how we're supposed to be saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It does say that.
We're supposed to be on the same page?
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is a topic where if everyone would just sit down and really have the knowledge of your Bible and study end time prophecy, you can come to the right conclusions, because the evidence is overwhelming that we will not be here for the tribulation period.
The great tribulation.
It is impossible.
And
I'm emphatic about
not
it.
Only can we not be here, Sheila Crawford says it's
impossible.
Okay. For us to be here.
You betcha. All right, so one of the other names for Rosh Hashanah is called the coronation, and actually they read Psalm 47:5, which is the coronation of
Psalm.
A king, and they say it during the Rosh Hashanah season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they also, instead of using the regular challah bread, which is kind of long and braided, they use a round challah bread, which is kind of a symbol of a crown.
That's right.
That's right. And I also understand.
And it's got raisins in it a lot of times.
It does.
And it's very good.
You like those raisins.
In the bread, I do.
Okay.
In the challah, I do. But
All right. Well, and also I understand that kings, even if they had to take over prior to Rosh Hashanah because of a death or something, they actually had a festival or coronation on Rosh Hashanah, and they would hail him as king on that day. All
yes.
Kings. And, of course, we know that if the rapture occurs on a Rosh Hashanah, the first thing that we do when we get up in heaven
is going to
see Jesus crowned king.
That's right.
You know that? Because he's not king yet.
Mm-mm.
He sits at the right hand of the Father. He makes intercession for us. And when we get up there, he's going to be crowned king. And, in fact, we're going to be crowned, too, because we're his queen, and we're going to get crowns of rewards. Exciting day. Looking forward to that day. Okay, let's do another name.
About the resurrection of the dead.
Yeah. Arise.
Arise.
A resurrection of the dead. And, of course, That's talked about in Isaiah 26, and also it's the coming Messiah, you know? And the other word is Yom Terah, which is the awakening blast.
Oh, yes.
That's the biblical name in Leviticus 23 also. And another word is open the gates in Isaiah 26. These gates are opened for the righteous to enter.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because at the resurrection, the righteous will enter into the gates. And it's interesting that according to Jewish tradition, these gates are closed on Yom Kippur.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Nilah.
Nilah.
At sundown.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, after many studies, that that's exactly when Jesus will come back in the clouds with us. For the second coming where all eyes will see him. I believe it'll be on Yom Kippur. And the gates will be closed if you haven't accepted him by that time.
Mm.
Once they see him, the gates are closed. That's, I believe he will return at sundown on a Yom Kippur.
Wow.
That's pretty good, huh?
That is really good.
Yeah. And again, these shows, that's what this is all about, is to teach these things. And as we go on, we will have time to really look into the details on these kind of things.
Well, right now, the gates of repentance are open wide.
Well, you betcha.
Just like our phone lines, the gates are open wide.
You betcha. Another term for Rosh Hashanah is called the Day of Judgment. Well, first of all, if you go up in the resurrection and if you're alive, it's called the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's certainly a day of judgment for those that are left behind.
And, well, judgment works both ways, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You can be judged faithful.
Yes.
And
by leaving.
And leaving. And you can be judged, staying.
By staying.
Yes.
But God in his mercy gives people an opportunity to receive him. And we know that according to Revelation, there's many, many tribulation saints. So many that John couldn't even count them. Now, they are not the bride.
Mm-hmm.
They're called the tribulation saints. And we've covered that in past shows
also. Yes, we have.
But Day of Judgment, God is sometimes referred to as the Ancient of Days. You've heard that in Daniel. Sitting upon a throne, while books containing the deeds of all humanity are opened before him. Now, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Orthodox Jews practice now a newer custom because there are no more temple sacrifices for their sins to be forgiven. And it's called the Tashlich. Is that how you say it?
Tashlich.
Tashlich. Okay.
Tashlich.
You're always so good at Hebrew. I'm so glad you're with me here. But anyway, you want to explain that?
Well, traditionally you go near a body of water, which is supposed to be a moving bottle, body of water. Mayim Chayim, in other words, it's supposed to be a river, would be good.
Right.
And you empty your pockets or cast breadcrumbs into the water. And these are supposed to be symbolic of your sins. And some folks even write the sins literally on the piece of paper, then tear up the paper into little crumb-sized pieces and throw that into the water. And it comes from Micah 7:19. It states, and you will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. And that's a traditional Rosh Hashanah practice.
Well, isn't that interesting?
Yes.
Because that's what Jesus actually has done, hasn't it?
Yes, he has.
Someday they will all see that.
Praise and like God. An old pastor friend of mine used to say, cast them into the sea and puts up a sign that says, no fishing.
Also, it's another term for Rosh Hashanah is called Day of Remembrance.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's because we are going to get our rewards. In Malachi 3:16, and I have it here.
Ooh, let's read that.
It says, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened. And let me just stop here. Every time we talk about the Lord, every time we say, praise the Lord,
mm-hmm.
he is listening. Now, we know that, of course.
Mm.
But to see it in writing, it's
That's
pretty
nice.
Amazing.
That's nice to see it in writing.
He listens and he hears us. So a book of remembrance was written before the Lord, him, for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. So every time we talk about the Lord, it's being written down in a book up in heaven called the Book of Remembrance. Because there's more than just the Book of Life, you know.
Oh, of course, there are many books.
It says
in Revelation, and the books
yeah.
were opened. So there are many books.
That's right. So people, every time you do something good, every time you tell someone about Jesus Christ, whether they receive him or not, you're getting written down in the book of remembrance. It's
Isn't
almost
that
like
great?
It's almost like I like to tell people, it's like a big chalkboard up in heaven and your name's there. And every time you say something about him or pray or anything, you get another check. And when we get up there, we're going to get rewards for all that stuff.
Now, let's hope. I'm not sure, but is there a book for the things we do we shouldn't? Probably.
Oh, absolutely, of course.
And we're not.
But Jesus
yes.
threw that book away for us.
Yes.
So, but at the end, at the resurrection of the unrighteous dead, those books, because they haven't been thrown away on people that have not accepted Christ, they will be open and people will be judged according to the evil things they have done, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. That's very plain. And
Jesus said he was very plain about that, too. He said the very words, you will be judged
yes.
by words.
Yes.
More so than deeds, almost.
That's
but,
right.
Everything. Yes. So,
everything.
Ooh.
You know?
Okay.
And that, of course, always brings up the question, and I'm surprised someone hasn't asked that yet, are there different degrees of hell? I mean, let's face it, hell is pretty bad. I wouldn't want to go there either way.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I understand in the Bible, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there is. I don't think grandma next door who never made Jesus Lord of her life, who never did anything really bad, is going to suffer like someone like Adolf Hitler or who, you know, killed many people. And
oh, absolutely.
There's definitely
God
degrees.
Is, you know, through the Psalms and the Proverbs, and it mm-hmm. says that he abhors an unjust balance. And God, and you see he keeps track of everything like some kind of super accountant.
Yes.
There's not one thing that escapes his attention. So he's very,
he's
very
just.
Just and
yes.
fair. Fair is a good word. He's yes. very fair to the little, to the down to the little degree.
I know. Whew. People.
That's why just anybody couldn't lay their life down for our sins. It couldn't. It had to be God himself.
And there is a hell because he talks
yes.
about it a lot.
Yes.
You know. Also, another word for Rosh Hashanah is chief of the year. Of course, we already said that.
Mm-hmm.
And it means to begin over. Okay, it's their chance to get rid of all their sins and kind of start things over. And actually, Rosh Hashanah meals often include fruit and honey to symbolize a sweet new year. And also why we said in the beginning of the show, you want to say that Hebrew thing again?
Like, sure.
Tova, but I can never say the next
I can't. You know, that one's a hard one for me. It's Tikkatevu.
Okay.
Yeah,
Shana Tova Tikkatevu.
Tikkatevu.
Yeah. Meaning,
may
you
be
inscribed in the book of life.
And you know what? There's some other symbolic foods too. It's not just apples and honey.
Okay.
And remember all the Rosh Hashanah events that we have.
Yes, we've had.
And we had all that apples and honey. But a lot of people didn't know carrots.
Oh, well, carrots are sweet.
Cabbage, beets, and dates. Now dates, I understand.
What's sweet
squash,
about cabbage?
That's what I don't understand. Pomegranate. Now that's easy because
yes.
that's sweet. Now here's the bad part: fish and either a fish head or a sheep head.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
But I'm staying away from it.
Yeah,
I'm staying away from the fish head.
Okay, it's also called the hidden day. Now, this brings up amazing. It's called the hidden day because Rosh Hashanah, out of the seven festivals, seven feasts of Leviticus 23,
mm-hmm.
it is the only festival that actually begins on a new moon.
Uh-huh. And
why?
A new... Well, good question.
It's a type of new beginnings.
Okay.
Just like there's going to be a new moon, Rosh Hashanah is a new year. So, again, it only begins when when they see the first sliver of the moon. And, of course, that's why it got another phrase that no one knew the day or the hour of the new moon because
mm-hmm.
they didn't have calendars back then. In fact, they went and sat on a hill
mm-hmm.
and they just looked up in the sky and waited every night to see when that first sliver would
if,
show up, and when it did, then they would trumpet back to the temple and explain, "Okay, Rosh Hashanah is here."
Yes, and that's good that you brought that out because the calendar, the Hebrew calendar, is fluid and it moves around. So does the calendar that we use today, our secular calendar. We have to adjust it. Well, the Hebrew calendar needed to be adjusted, and one of those adjustment days is Rosh Hashanah because you didn't know.
Right.
You didn't know exactly which day or that hour when you would see. You knew approximately when.
Right.
You knew it would be in the evening, right?
So I believe that the remnant that knows some Hebraic roots, again, I'm not saying a lot. I'm saying basic knowledge here.
Mm-hmm.
we kind of get the impression that when Jesus said no one knows the day or the hour, he could have also been referring to a Rosh Hashanah some year.
Right.
I do believe that.
And you said this yourself. You said, well, it could be a month off, and the reason for that is that the Hebrew calendar gets adjusted by resetting it by the barley, or is it the barley harvest? The spring harvest.
Yes.
And if the spring harvest doesn't coincide with the first festival, which is Passover in the spring, mm-hmm. they have to adjust the calendar so that harvest
right.
comes in at the time. That hasn't been done either.
Right.
So there's always a question. Yeah, there is always a question.
And which is why Jesus said when you see all the signs come together, that's when you start looking up.
That's when.
And we are definitely in those signs. We're seeing globalism coming up. So quickly.
Yes.
It'll be nothing to have a one world leader. And if the rapture were to happen this year, that could happen so fast because at that moment, there's nothing righteous left on the earth. The enemy can take over and move things along pretty darn quick.
It will be so dark mm-hmm. and so quick a time.
Just for a short time, though, but enough time for the enemy to get the power that he needs.
To make his move.
And then
yeah.
God will save 144,000 Jewish now believers,
mm-hmm.
now they'll be believers because they will have some kind of a encounter with the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know exactly how that's going to happen, but they will know. And they will be saved, and then they will start witnessing. And they will save because
can
of
you
that.
Imagine that, having 144,000 Moseses and Pauls and Elijahs running through Israel? That's going to be an exciting time.
That's right.
Dangerous, but exciting.
But the reason it's called the Hidden Day is because also in Psalm 81:3 it says, blow the trumpet at the new moon. And the new moon is called a hidden time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of a hidden festival.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And another term that's used is called the wedding of the Messiah. Now, it's interesting because they believe that the resurrection, they would marry the Messiah. And, of course, we have always believed that, and we know that for a fact, that
mm-hmm.
at the rapture, we're going to go up and marry our Messiah.
And that's why we're called the bride, isn't it?
It is.
And that's why he's the bridegroom, right?
And, you know, it's amazing how God has organized detailed wedding requirements for the Jewish people with particular phrases. And, again, Jesus would use these phrases to give us huge clues about how it will be with us. And, you know, we don't have a lot of time here, but there was actually three different ways that a wedding could be arranged. It could be arranged from the father. He could say, okay, this is who you're going to marry.
Mm-hmm.
It could be arranged by the son himself, as in the case of Jesus, you know, the son himself, when he says, Father, I would like to marry this person.
Mm-hmm.
Or they could actually hire an agent to decide who's going to, it's called a matchmaker,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I look at the spiritual implications
yes.
because the Father has arranged the wedding to Jesus since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus himself came and betrothed himself to us by the death on the cross. And then he sent the Holy Spirit, the agent who actually woos people and brings them to the Lord. So we see those three ways to have a marriage being used with us as Christians. And the other thing is, it was always her choice,
mm-hmm.
and it's always our choice to accept the son. But then she was to study her contract, okay, or what they call the ketubah.
Yeah.
Well, we study our contract, which is our Bible. That's our ketubah. We understand our responsibilities and also God's, okay? And then when we accept him, we are set aside, sanctified for him only. When in the Jewish customs, when she decides that she would accept him, she is set aside and sanctified for him only. Actually wears a veil until she sees him out in public. It was legally binding, but not impossible to sever the betrothal. And I think
mm-hmm.
that's important to know
yes.
that they would have to get a divorce even while they were engaged if they wanted to sever it.
Yeah.
And it was very difficult. And it's difficult for us, too. Once we receive Christ into our hearts, we really have to say, I deny you, and walk away
mm-hmm.
before that's severed.
Well, he does say in Hosea, I will betroth you to me, and he says it three times.
Right.
Yes. Sometimes it takes three times.
And he would be preparing a place for her at her father's house, not sure of the day or the hour when he would return, but the friends would always give clues or hints by the signs of completion, and we're seeing no signs of completion today.
Are we getting hints now?
Yes, we
are. Are we ever?
And, my goodness, That's the end of our show today. I hope that you were blessed through it and got a lot of information.
How can it be the end? I don't hear any music.
Well, that much of an end. We have
okay.
to finish here.
Okay, well, if you have a question for Sheila or if you would like her to speak at your church or home group, well, it's easy. Just email her at Sheila@shofarministries.net, and Sheila is spelled S-H-E-I-L-A. So make that E and I, not the I-E-E-I, okay?
And I would love to come out and speak at somebody's church.
Oh, yes.
I would
yes.
love to do that.
And this is a listener-supported radio broadcast. If this show is a blessing to you, then your help is really needed to keep this show on the air.
It really is.
Oh, yes. And any and all donations are extremely important and appreciated and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please consider being a partner in this endeavor. Use PayPal or send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. All donations automatically will put you on the monthly newsletter, which is full of gold nuggets, like you heard right here today, and current events of these last days right here and in Israel. So why not check out the webpage? Newsletters and previous radio shows are archived there, thanks to Lou Buckles, who is very fair-priced and willing to help you with your own webpage. Let us know if you're interested, and we'll forward Lou's number to you. And did I say that one right? I'm not sure I got that right. And a great study for beginners is Hebraic Roots 101, Parts 1 and 2. Where you need
DVDs.
To get started. They're DVDs.
Pictures.
Moving pictures. And this is a great way to start. It's when you got to learn, yeah. you got to learn to crawl before you walk.
That's
now,
right.
This is available on the webpage as well at shofarministries.net. And we'd like to leave you with the Aaronic blessing today. As we lift our hands in prayer, join us. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord
bless you and keep
you.
The Lord make his face shine upon
you
and be gracious to you.
The Lord
lift up his countenance upon
you
and
give you peace. Shalom. Until next time.
Have a great week.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the Internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio. 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.
The preceding program's views, claims, and or representations may not have necessarily reflected those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
It seems every time you pick up the paper, turn on the news, or surf the web, you hear more bad news about the economy. No doubt, business just isn't what it used to be, but the fact is, consumers are...